Good morning. Nice to see all of you this morning. If you've got a Bible, we're going to be all over the place today, but if you want to at least start with us in our starting spot, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1. And if you don't have a Bible, you can grab one out of the chair racks and you can find Colossians 1 on page 983 of those Bibles. But as I said, we are going to be jumping around a little bit today, and so you'll be able to follow along either in your Bible. We'll also put the scriptures up on the screen behind me in case you're not nimble enough to get around for where we need to go. I just was so moved worshiping with you together this morning. I was in Nashville the latter half of this week at a pastor's thing, and that pastor's thing was going through today. And I had to leave early to come and preach here, but I got to leave early to come and preach because I'd rather be here than there. I love our church. Some of us have been riding here a long time, and I've been riding a long time with you now in 10 years, and we've been through some stuff. I've been through some stuff. You have too, and I love our church. I love singing and seeing Sam up here drumming today and knowing that a week and a half ago he was having lung surgery and his goal was to be back up here and he did it. It would take me like 10 years to recover from that. I'd have much more moderate goals, but he's there and we can look up and know each other and know each other's stories and know that he hasn't failed us and be able to look at each person and see the fact that he hasn't failed us doesn't mean we haven't gone through some stuff because we have. But we also look at each other and can testify, and those who are afraid of the thing that they are about to go through can gain strength from the other saints and to say, hey, if he hasn't failed them, then he's not going to fail me. And I don't have the blueprint for what that's going to look like, but I can be certain of that. And so I am just overwhelmingly glad to worship together with you this morning, to have the privilege of sharing God's word with you. All right, so we're in the middle of a series. Nope, I have one other thing. Sorry. One other thing. What's kind of connected to the series that we're in? So we're in a series. Surprise, called Back to Basics. Some of you have been here for all of January, so you already know that, but for those of you who are new, we're just kicking off the month of January with a few things that we need to be reminded of. I don't remind us of these things as often as I probably should, and so we're going to try to do better at reminding you of some basic truths, values, things in the Christian life, obligations that we have to God and to one another that are just super foundational things, and they are often so foundational that they just get assumed. And then when we keep assuming things, they get lost. And so the first Sunday in January, we talked about the importance of getting into the Word, regularly reading the Bible. I did not define what that was. I simply gave you a plethora of reading plans and said, there's got to be one of these that matches you and your learning style and where you're at in your Christian walk, or if you're not a Christian, where you're at in your exploring of Christianity. And so that's what we did the first week. Last week, we talked about the importance of giving, and we talked about Acts 20, where the Apostle Paul quotes Jesus, who says, it's more blessed to give than receive. And I want to let you know something about that. I, without really checking with anyone, came up with my own idea, which is never good, but said, why don't we see if in the next month we can raise $50,000 above and beyond our normal giving so that I can have a jet? No. That would be the smallest jet in the world. It was like a radio-controlled airplane. I said, let's see if we can raise $50,000 above and beyond our regular giving, and that's a key, above and beyond our regular giving, because lights, heat, we need those things. But let's see if we can do that, and let's spend the money entirely on other people. So let's put 50% towards missions and church planting, and let's 50% towards doing good in a whole bunch of different ways, other ministries that we can support, et cetera, et cetera. So that was last week, and then after I announced that we would do that, I asked if there was a way we could figure out how to do that. And so we have some more things in place than we had last week, but I wanted to tell you a couple things about that. Okay, so you can go onto our website, to our giving page, and if you do online giving there, you can now pick More Blessed as an option of the fund that you can give to. If you write us a check, you can write More Blessed in the memo. If you want to put cash in the offering box that's there in the left in this little hallway as you go out, just put it in an envelope and write More Blessed on it. We've already had $2,000 come in, and this morning we had somebody offer a $10,000 matching gift. So for every dollar you give, that matching gift up to $10,000 will double your contribution. So we are on the way. Yes, we are on the way. And why do we want to do this? We want to do this because we want to test God out and see if that's true. Because we are a nation of consumers. And many of us are very, very generous people. But we are a nation of consumers, and so we want to really test this out, and then we want to look at the receipts together, and we want to thank God and experience that it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. So, excited about that. That's what we talked about last week. And now, this week, I want to talk to you about the importance of church membership. The importance of church membership. Church membership is one of those things that often is simply assumed by some of us. And as I said at the beginning, things that are assumed often get lost. I think it's important to talk about church membership and what we think about church membership here at CBC, because many of us come from places where church membership was not a thing, and so when you hear the Exploring Membership class, you're like, is that some special tier? Is that like the Patreon subscribers to the podcast? No, it's not. It's not some special tier of member at our church, but it is important. And so I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the importance of church membership, and here's how we'll do that today in the time that we have, and then we're going to share the Lord's Supper together at the end. I'm going to ask three questions. The first question I'm going to ask, and you don't have to furiously write all this down because then we'll go back through, but just so you have a little bit of a roadmap, what is church membership? That's the first question I'm going to ask, and I'm going to answer it with just three words. And this is not a comprehensive definition of church membership. It's not everything that could be said about church membership. It's just three words that I want to impress on you today that describe church membership. Then I'm going to ask a second question, was what are some of the obstacles to church membership that we might have in our minds and in our hearts? And then the third question is, what does membership look like here at CBC? And the way these sermons have been going in Back to Basics, I've been a little long-winded. So I'm going to try so hard to move fast, but I'm not making any promises. All right, number one, what is church membership? I want to answer that question with three words that will kind of give us some anchors to understand what church membership is. The first anchor point I want to give you is this. The first word is this: belonging. Church membership is belonging. So, one of the things that the Bible teaches is that when a person trusts Christ, when a person repents of their sin and puts their faith, their belief, their trust in the work of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection that gives us righteousness of Christ, forgives us of our sins, gives us a place in heaven, and gives us change and growth in our hearts and in everything about us here on earth. When a person puts their faith in Christ, the Bible tells us that there is this mysterious or mystical thing that happens that we call sometimes union with Christ. If you just read through the New Testament, you'll see hints at union with Christ everywhere. The Bible says that we are in Christ, or we are in Him. And the truth, as the picture that becomes clear as you read through the New Testament, is that when I put my faith in Christ, I am mysteriously or mystically united with Him in such a way that I become part of His body. I become part of Christ, which is why sometimes the Bible refers to Christ as the head. And we are His body, and we grow up into maturity, into the head, which is the language of Ephesians. And we say it's mystical or mysterious in the sense that we don't really know exactly how that works. We can't explain every single piece of it, but we know that faith unites us to Christ, so that every good thing that Christ has accomplished on our behalf becomes ours in Him. So if you're a Christian here, you are inseparably united with Christ. You cannot lose your salvation. You cannot lose your standing. He's got you. But there's a corollary. There's something that goes along with union with Christ. It's not just that we are united with Christ. When we are united with Christ, we also become united with His people. We come united with everyone else who has been united to Christ, whether you like it or not. And sometimes there's a not so much in there. But listen to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, where the Bible makes it very clear. It says, He, referring to Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. So, the church is the body of Christ. When I become united with Christ, I become united with His people. And there are a couple of different ways that we can think about that as we think about our relationship with God's people in the New Testament. When we become united with God's people, we become united with His body, which is the church. And there are two ways of looking at the church. There is, you may have heard this before, the universal church. That might be a new term to some of us, but the universal church is all of God's people everywhere at all times. So a crazy thing happens when you become united with Christ is we become mysteriously united with all Christians everywhere, and all Christians who have come before us, and all Christians who will come after us. That is what we refer to sometimes as the universal church. But it also becomes clear as we read the New Testament together that our expression of our membership in the universal church is demonstrated in a particular local church. So I'm part of the universal church, but the expression of my participation in the body of Christ can't be with people who are dead. And it can't be with people who have yet to come. And it can't be with people who are in Africa right now, although we may have a camaraderie of spirit with us. I'm not physically present with them. It can't really even be with people who are in Alabama right now. It has to find its expression with a particular group of people, the local church. To think of your membership exclusively as being part of the universal church is to claim to be a member of Planet Fitness without ever actually going to any Planet Fitness. Can you be a member of the universal Planet Fitness? Some of us are on that plan. Our New Year's resolution was to dip our toe in the water but become, I'll just start by being a member of the Universal Planet Fitness. Someday I'll get around to going to an actual Planet Fitness and doing the stuff there. Okay, we're laughing because that's true. You can't really be a member of the Planet Fitness community by being a member of the Universal Planet Fitness community. Your expression of being part of the Planet Fitness community will show up by going to one of the locations near you and using the machines that you can actually touch while you're there and coming into contact with the people who work there. And it doesn't mean that you can't go to another one when you're on vacation in Denver or something, but that your life's expression of membership there takes place at a particular place. We've been united with God's people, and we've been united with a particular people. And we see this all throughout the New Testament. We certainly don't have time to walk through all the expressions of the local church in the New Testament. But if you just start to read through the New Testament, there are references to particular people that belong to a particular church everywhere. There are greetings at the end of the epistles, the letters, where people from one church are sent to another church. Greetings from one church are given to another church. A gift, financial gift, is given from one church to another church. The letters themselves are sent to a particular church. We've got the letters that start the book of Revelation that go out to seven particular churches. Okay, so we don't have time to walk through all of the particulars of that, but the truth of the matter is, to be a member of a church is to particularize, to be a member of a particular one. And let me then say this even more. This moves far beyond simply having your name on a roster. Okay, anybody can get their name on a roster. But our participation in that, this is not about having my name on some sort of membership role, which is why I used the term belonging. This is a place the church is meant to be. It has not always been. And some of us have the scars to show for it. But the church is meant to be a place of radical belonging. One of the things that I love about our church is what we are becoming. There have been times in our distant church history where there has had to be a measure of uniformity to dot every I and cross every T the same way to truly belong. But what we have here now and what is growing in our church is a beautiful diversity. We have people coming from all sorts of different places. We have people coming from all sorts of denominational experiences. We have people coming from non-Christian experiences at all who walk in here are like, what in the world are you guys doing? This is weird. We have people who have been following Jesus for a long time, and we have people who are sputtering in their following of Jesus, and they're falling down, and they're getting up again, and they're falling down, and they're getting up again, and we all have all sorts of beautiful experiences and things happening because the local church is meant to be a place of radical belonging. I mean, just look at our culture crying out for it. We are more connected to each other and to the rest of the world than we have ever been at any time in human history, and yet we still are alone. People are still crying out in a variety of ways, behaviorally and others, longing for some place to belong. And we have this beautiful thing of God's creation called the church, His very body of Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 calls the church the household of faith, the family of faith. Becoming part of a church makes you a part of a family. And you become part of that family not through some sort of human bloodline, but through the precious blood of Christ. It is the shed blood of Christ that has cleansed us and forgiven us and saved us and continues to renew us day by day. It is that blood which unites us together as family so that we radically belong. So let me pause right here to just say something to someone here this morning who may not be a Christian. I said before, some of us are reading the Bible and have been doing so for many years. Some of us are Christians who need to get back on the train. Some of us are reading the Bible in an exploratory way, trying to figure Christianity out. And what we just want you to know, if you're here with us this morning and you're not a Christian, is that this church is what we said we were at the beginning. Not perfectly, but we do open wide our doors to people longing for life, for truth, for a place to belong. And it starts with you kneeling at the foot of the cross, confessing your sins, receiving the forgiveness of Christ. And I promise you, you will find the arms of this church welcoming you in. Church membership is about a place to belong. And the second place, the second word that I would use to describe church membership is accountability. Don't be afraid of that. That sounds like a scary word. But let me read a verse to you from Hebrews chapter 13. The Bible says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning." I mean, laugh about that, right? "Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Now, we don't have a lot of time to talk about this verse this morning, but I want you to see that there are two forms of accountability in that verse that I just read. That where at first it says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Now, let's just pause on obey. So that is not an unqualified obedience. There are many matters in which your pastors do not have biblical authority to speak into your life or direct it. Okay, there are all sorts of your affairs that the pastors do not have the right to speak into. And if your pastor is trying to do that, that's called a cult, high control group. We're trying really hard not to be culty. But on the other side of it, we sometimes want to live as if we don't need to have any spiritual authority or guidance in our lives. That we can do it on our own. That's an encroachment on my thing that I'm doing. And one of the things that the Bible makes clear in the verse that I just read is that one of the responsibilities of pastors is to exercise soul care. To do what we can with the flock to ensure that the flock flourishes, which is why this is of advantage to you to be submitted to spiritual leadership. This is why it could be a joy to be accountable to leadership so that you will experience a spiritual flourishing, so that you can have your soul tended or cared for by a pastor, which is simply a word for a shepherd, someone who cares. So there is an appropriate accountability to our spiritual leadership, but notice the accountability that your spiritual leadership also has. This is one of the scariest verses in the Bible for me. "They're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account." Which means the pastors here are going to have to answer to God for the way that we've done that. I think a lot of pastors are not thinking about that. So I think what Hebrews 13 is saying here, hey, let's make it easy on each other. Let's joyfully submit to the soul care of our spiritual leadership. Let's be easily led towards Christ-likeness. Let's be those kind of people. And let's contribute to them keeping accountability for us in a way that they can stand before God, and of course, imperfectly, but stand before God and say, we have tried to do our best to care for the souls you've given. And here's an argument for church membership. if I am going to exercise watch care over souls, I want to know who those souls are. If you visited one time in 1987, does that mean, do you go to our church? Do I have watch care over that person's soul? And it's a two-way street. We submit ourselves to church leadership, which means I don't have any authority over you if you don't ever submit to it. If you don't ever raise your hand and say, let's enter into this arrangement together. And I'll say more about that. That's not your, oh, cool. So I can go here forever and never have to have any accountability. Doesn't quite work like that either. And I'll say a few words about that in a moment. But I'm using the term, we often think about the term accountability as a scary word. Oh, they'll make me do stuff. When I think the Bible wants us to view the accountability as mutual care. Because we have accountability for each other too. I could join myself to a group of people who, to use language that we often use around here, will help each other make it home. See, accountability is mixed with the language of belonging. I link arms with some specific Christians so that when I can't walk, they'll carry me. So that when I fall, they'll pick me up. And so that when I try to run away, they will lovingly try to drag me back. You see, when you understand it that way, it's a blessing. It's a joy. All right, so church membership is, in the first place, belonging. It is, secondly, accountability. And it is, in the third place, the word I would use is purpose. Being part of a local church helps us live out our God-given purpose. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. The Bible says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be?" Christian, you have something to give. Full stop. Are you giving it? I talk to so many people who have an inappropriate humility. I don't have anything. I can't teach. I would never stand in front of people as if this was the only job. I don't know how to do this. Or I just see so-and-so and they do it so much better. Can you imagine if we only did our thing if we were the best person at it? Can you imagine being in the NFL and not all these wonderful players, but I'm not going to play if I can't be the top player in the NFL? You have something to give. And I'm not saying that because I want to be a motivational speaker to you this morning. I'm saying it because the Bible just said it. I just read it to you. And we can complain that I really wanted to be the eye, but I guess I'm the ear. Okay, you can complain about it, or you can embrace who God made you to be and start being it. And here's the wonderful thing. Some of that shows up on an org chart or in a specific ministry. So we have greeters and ushers. And there's a schedule of who's leading that team and who's on that team and who's going to be doing it that week. And we have teams of people all over the church that are doing stuff like that. But that's not the extent of ministry. That's a part of it. Let me open your eyes up to a bigger piece of ministry. When we're done after the service today, I just want you to look to your left and look to your right and look forward and look back. The ministry opportunities there in front of you are as numerous as the people here. Maybe God needs to use your suffering to encourage someone else. That's not how we would want to be used, right? But maybe God wants to use your example of suffering to serve another member of our church. Maybe you have some skill that you contribute to someone that you know who is lacking. Maybe someone needs to be encouraged. Maybe someone needs to be discipled. Maybe somebody wishes they had someone disciple, and you know that you want to be discipled, and we might be able to put those things together. So we don't have to create a massive program to do this. Just start asking questions and talking to people and having your radar up. Walk into church, the gathering on Sundays, walk out the doors, think about it through the week, think, I wonder how God wants me to use my gifts today. In fact, you could pray that. I wonder, Lord, how you want me to use my gifts today. And then just walk in the path that he lays out for me. We were saved for good works, which God has prepared beforehand for us to do. It's kind of like, I know this is a dumb analogy, but it's kind of like, this is probably so dumb. This is how I think about it, though. Pac-Man. We think we've got to figure it out. What will we do? But Pac-Man, it's just the little dots are there, and you just kind of do this. And I kind of think that's how God has laid it out for us. You don't have to figure the whole thing out. Just start walking forward, and you'll see stuff. Grab it. Do it. That is not in the notes. And I know that's a terrible analogy, but I didn't just come up with it now. I literally think of Pac-Man whenever I read that verse. Where are we? Purpose. See, another thing people are longing for besides belonging is purpose. Do I matter? Do I have anything to contribute to this world? Can I do anything that lasts? Oh, yeah. We got a lot of stuff for you to do that will absolutely last. You might not get a statue, but what we do lasts in eternity. So these are three words that I would use to describe joining a church. And as I said, that's not comprehensive. There have been whole books written on it. But those are three words that I would want to encourage you with. Okay, let's go faster. Second question, what keeps Christians from joining a church? What keeps Christians from joining a church? Answer number one, ignorance. I don't mean that in an insulting way. I mean lack of knowing something. Okay, I am ignorant about a lot of things. Okay, I can't do an engine swap. I'm ignorant. I don't know how to do that. And a lot of us come from a lot of different backgrounds where the very idea of church membership, like this may be the very first time you're hearing about it. And that's okay. But I've tried to make the case to you this morning in a brief way so that we aren't ignorant, so that we recognize that it's not enough to be a member of the Universal Planet Fitness, that I actually have to show up in a committed way to a particular one, that I raise my hand and say, I want spiritual leadership to be accountable to me. I want the church family to be accountable to me. I want to give accountability to them, to work together for the common good. Another reason that Christians don't join a church is fear. And here's one I want to be really sensitive with. Some people are afraid of church membership because you have had a bad experience in a church. Some of us have been in churches where spiritual authority has been abused. That is a common, common theme. And so in me, with the scriptures trying to push you towards church membership, I don't want to be tone deaf to recognize that you have come with baggage. Here's what I would like to say. I would say the fact that you've come with baggage is something that we want to be understanding towards, but don't let it keep you from obedience. What would move you past your fear? I think it's developing a relationship of trust. And so we want to be open and transparent with you here. We want to build a relationship of trust with you. We know that some trust has to be given to start any relationship, but then trust has to be earned. And so we want you to trust God first and then explore us more so that you can be moving towards being a recognized member of our church. A third reason that we often don't join a church, and I know I'm moving quickly, but it's just good old-fashioned independence. Some people do not join a church because they want to maintain their own dependence. And I've had people tell me, I want to come to your church, but I'm not going to join it. Because I want, and they haven't said this explicitly, but what basically ends up happening is they want all the member benefits of soul care with none of the accountability. So I want to receive all the good, but don't ever try to lead. Don't ever try to care for my soul in a way that I don't want you to care for my soul. Listen, soul care is sometimes saying, hey, we're going the wrong direction here. This is how the scriptures would lead us to go. This is how you will flourish. Don't follow that path. Don't go that direction. I know where it ends. Many people want the benefits of membership without surrendering their independence. But God is invited, when we come into relationship with God, we are first of all, with Christ, we are first of all admitting our utter dependence. And then he moves us into relationship with other Christians where we experience a healthy dependence. And I will just say this, for freelancing Christian types, obviously you can be a Christian and not go to a church. But if you are not a contributing part of a church, then you are missing the heartbeat of what it means to be a Christian. The Bible describes the church as the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the base and the support. That sounds kind of important, doesn't it? And that's why we give up our full independence, to be dependent on each other, to recognize that I'm not enough without you. Think about that thought as you look around the room. I'm not enough without these people. God created me to need them. And God created them to need me. So those are some of our obstacles to doing it. Okay. Here are the last things that I want to say. Third question, what does church membership look like at CBC? Let me give you two answers. One of these is going to have to be homework for later. I want to talk about the process. To become a member at CBC, it starts with taking the Exploring Membership class. The Exploring Membership class is in 2 Sundays. So 2 Sundays from today. So here's what we want. If you're not a member of our church and you've been around for some time, okay, we're not following behind you. Like, did you listen to the sermon? So I'm pulling back from this and I'm saying this in a more overall, overarching perspective. Our desire as leadership for the people of our church is for someone to be moving towards membership. You may be in the trust building phase. You may be in the exploration phase. You may just be in the visiting phase. but we believe in this so strongly that we want you to be moving towards membership, even if it's not with us. We're not the only church in the world. We're not the greatest church in the world. We're not pretending to be the only church in the world. We believe in it strongly enough that we would actually tell you, if you can't in good conscience be a member here, then we would love for you to find a church where you could in good conscience be a member. Now, if this is your first week, I'm not talking to you. If we're a year into this thing, I'm talking to you. But I'm not being mean about it, because there's fear, there's ignorance, there's our own desires for independence. So take this from me as a gentle pushing you towards what I believe is important and good and true. You take the Exploring Membership class. The second part is that you submit a membership application. The membership application, I have to talk with people about this from time to time. The membership application is not to see if you measure up to be good enough to join here. Trust me, we got a lot of problems. You should make it. You will be right at home. It's because we have a responsibility, as best we can as leaders, to admit true Christians into membership. If we don't do any sort of check to see whether we're admitting true Christians into membership, we are giving those people a false assurance, which is why we don't say, hey, who wants to be a member? Sign up today. The church is the body of Christ. It is people who have confessed Christ, and we want to make sure that the people that we bring into our membership have a saving relationship with Christ. And so we hear your testimony. It's not a theology quiz. It's not when was the last time you sinned quiz and how bad was it quiz. It's, are you a Christian following Christ? Do you have a credible profession of faith? Once that happens, we have a membership interview, and then we receive you into membership. Obviously, I'm compressing this a lot. And then there's a membership covenant, which I was going to go through, but I'm not going to go through. It was sent out to you via email this week. So I'll just say this. Before we share the Lord's Supper together. In fact, those of you who are going to be passing out the elements of the Lord's Supper, go ahead and come forward so that we can do that. Let's get us all ready so that I can say my last things. If you aren't a member of our church, that is okay. In no way should you feel browbeaten right now. I am encouraging you through the scriptures to make a commitment to a particular local church. And if you can't make that commitment to ours, find one that you can make a commitment to. If you are a member of our church, I would encourage you to read through that first page of our membership covenant and just ask yourself a few questions about whether you are a contributing member of the body. And just jump into it. Walk in the good works that God has prepared beforehand for you to walk in.